One of the things I love to do is to, at times anyway, but can't do it all the time, look into the scriptures and with a word of God in mind. And one of the words that have been sort of on my heart these days is this word, prepare. And so today I let my heart and mind go and run on it, and I want to share the results of it with you tonight. To take up one of the great words in the original, as you know, the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, and to take up one of the original Greek words translated prepare, to just trace that through. I won't be able to deal with it exhaustively, although one would love to do that, but even your patience has limits. And so I want to just point you to some of the great currencies. I don't know where your mind would first fly when this word prepare comes to, but if you're familiar with your New Testament, you will know that this is a word that is used fairly extensively in the New Testament, in the Gospel, concerning the end of the life of the Lord Jesus. You will remember that when it was getting near the end, and this is the way to get the thing introduced to us, the Lord said, go and prepare the Passover. You remember in the Gospel, go and get it all prepared. And you know what he meant by that. It wasn't just that they sort of had to go and purchase some unleavened bread and some bitter herbs, and they had to have some lamb to eat, you remember, the Passover feast, and all the great things. It wasn't that, but it had to be done right. It had to be prepared meticulously, correct? They couldn't just say, oh, well, come on, we'll just keep the Passover, and that'll be that. They had to do it exactly right. With all the details, perhaps that some of you may know that how they hunted through the house, all the leaven had to be put out, everything that was wrong. It wasn't just the Passover, but that the Passover immediately ushered in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so the preparation, the Passover, the very Passover itself was a preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when leaven was dealt with. Leaven is the type of sin. They had to live with sin out following the Passover. Just had to be done. You couldn't have sin anywhere. You couldn't have the inner quarters. Couldn't be sin. Wasn't it anywhere thought of? Can't think of sin in connection with being washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can't have that. See, he had to go and prepare the Passover. And how carefully they prepared it. Now, I want you to bear this thought in mind, that when God talks about preparation, he means not a slipshod thing at all. That he prepares more than you prepare perhaps for going on your holiday. But you prepare for going on your holiday somewhere about when you finish this one. You think about next year, perhaps, and you book it up. And then you see some dresses in the sale, and you're just right for my holiday, you see. And then you see something else, and you start preparing for a miserable fortnight at the seaside. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't turn out one bit like you think it does. But this is it. And don't think, beloved, that God is slipshod about anything. You're very careful about these things, and so is the Lord. And keeping this very well to the fore of our mind, I think it would be lovely to introduce ourselves scripturally in the first book of Corinthians, in the lovely second chapter, where the Lord speaks these wonderful words. It's written in verse 9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Prepared things. God has prepared things for us. Hallelujah. In his glorious. Amen. But, and it goes on, if you recall, to say that God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What a privilege for us then that the Holy Ghost should come to show us the things, to reveal to us the things that God has prepared for us. Prepared for us. Amen. Glory. Prepared for you. Did that sink right in? Prepared for you. We could look at a few of them in a moment, but it hasn't entered into the heart. If the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. Oh, I suppose now we could sort of sit there and our minds could run over the whole realm of biblical truth that we know, and we could put it all together and say, God prepared this for us, God prepared that for us. Hallelujah. It's only a matter, if you believe these things, that you should enter into them. May the Lord tonight really reveal things unto us by his Spirit. Turn first of all with me, and you will see that God's made all kinds of preparations for all different kinds of people. And in the 25th chapter of Matthew, you will know that it's a chapter that contains three wonderful parables. The first one that I suppose was a great sort of a key parable is the one of the 10 virgins. And then you get the parable of the servants and the talents, which we like to preach about, well done thou good and faithful servant. And then you get at the end this story, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so the parable goes on, and the Lord says these things. I don't want to indulge in it because this will take long enough as it is. I only want to say this, that here is something that the Lord has prepared for the nations of the earth. God prepared the nations of the earth. He's going to gather them all together when he comes back. My, you know, this earth is into some wonderful things. It really is. This earth that piles shame on the Lord is going to see the glory of the Lord. He's going to come back in his glory, and he's going to gather all the nations, and he's going to divide them as a shepherd does between the sheep and the goats. And when we were out in India the other year, we saw it very much. Sheep and goats all running together, all looking more or less the same out in the east. And we understood. The sheep were quite docile enough, but the silly goats, some of them, were trying to climb trees. That's the sort of thing that goats do. At least that, I've got a picture of it, so there it is. I just took a snap of it. And God divides between sheep and goats. Only monkeys climb trees, not goats, and because they didn't succeed very well. God has to do this sort of thing, and he's going to do it. But you see what he's saying? He's saying to the sheep, those on his right hand, that you can enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. That's going to be something wonderful. Well, that's for them. I don't know what you think about that parable and how you want to interpret it. I'm only just introducing you to the great truth of it. There's a kingdom prepared. See? Already prepared. You say, oh, well, I have to hurry up now and do something. If we're in an emergency situation, we've got to do something. We've got a crowd of people here. Where are we going to put them? Nothing like that about God. It's all prepared. I want to tell you, beloved, that God's working to a plan. You can't take God by surprise. Nobody will take God by surprise. He's prepared for everything. As a matter of fact, although this world seems all topsy-turvy and upside down and all wrong and utterly corrupt, and we're heading for a speedy, I don't know what, blackout, I would think, a real great blackout of everything that's good and decent and so on. That's on the worldly level, and it looks as though Satan is dominating, and we talk about the common market, and we talk about, you know, Daniel's idol, and all the toes, and I don't know, I think you've got me stuck in somewhere, sometimes. Don't worry about that. But that the whole thing about it, God's working to a plan. But whether it's the plan like worked out like some people work the plan, that's what you don't want to worry about. There are too many people think they've got God's blueprint. The only one that's got it is God. Amen. People want to sort of puff up and think they've got the answer there. Don't worry about that. Let them carry on. They'll come to their senses. The whole big thing about it is that God is moving and he's working in everything. And you can rest in God and you've got nothing to be afraid of. And it's all marvelously prepared. Yeah, let your heart come to rest here. You see, he has prepared wonderful things for us. Amen. I know there are going to be great national judgments. I know that God is going to come in the end with his holy angels and all sorts of things are going to take place. And he's going to say, then you go there and you go there. You see, that's right. You do this and you do that. And they won't go and say, oh, we've got a stockpile of atomic bombs. And I, what does that matter? we've got submarines patrolling the world and all this business. We've got launching pads on the bottom of the ocean and all this sort of thing. Glory to God. Well, we've got a God that's sitting on a throne.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's going to be a lovely launching pad. He's going to come down from there. That's Mars. Let's all rest here, beloved. I hope you're not one of these frantic people who goes, oh, paper, this on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, get all your paper. I hope you don't indulge in the Sunday paper too much. You see? And you say, you see. I tell you what, to read your Bible, it's much better. This was written before there were any papers. This was written. Hallelujah. And God's working to these things. It's all prepared. And you might say, oh, that'd be wonderful. I hope I'm one of those sheep. And I go into those kingdoms, that kingdom of the Lord. Well, I want to tell you that there's something much better than that. He's prepared the kingdom for all these sheep out of the nations. All right. The trouble with some people, and I suppose really I could have been very guilty of those in your mind's right. You know, preachers have got to be very careful. And people that start up songs and choruses have got to be very careful about this. I realise I could have sort of led you wrong on this. You see, if we're not careful, we always opt for the lowest things. Yes, we do. For instance, oh no, I shan't get down to my subject if I illustrate this to you. But I will tell you this. Now, in John's Gospel, there are three voices to be heard in John's Gospel. And there's the voice of him that stands outside the tomb. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. They that hear the voice of the Son of Man shall live, quoting from John 5. That's there. Marvelous. And then you see, there's John 10. We love John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither should anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You love to think about being a sheep and led by Jesus, and your mind thinks about being lost in the cold, and the shepherd came along and picked you up, put you on his shoulders, and carried you home. Yes, I'm alive. I've heard the voice of Jesus, and I'm alive. Now I'm a sheep of this pasture. So you see, when you read this parable, I said sheep, they're going to the kingdom. But there's another voice. And John heard that. He said, it's the voice of the bridegroom. You know, John chapter 3. You know where I'm quoting from, don't you? They hear the bridegroom's voice. That's a higher relationship than the sheep and shepherd. It's a husband and a wife relationship. You prepare better things for your wife than you do for the sheep, don't you? I mean, you don't tell your wife, come into the fold, do you? See, now this is the thing. But the majority of people will keep opting for being the sheep. They love this because they think they're such woolly, stupid, heavy things that need looking after. You see? But a husband doesn't expect his wife to be woolly, heavy. He may like to cover her, but that's not quite the point. The whole thing, beloved, is that, and this is where I'm going to finish with you tonight. That's why I've really come on. We're going to see the things that God has prepared, this great truth of preparation. Of course God has prepared green pastures for his sheep, and still waters, and all this. It's lovely. And we come, and there are times in our lives, you see, we pass through gradations of spiritual experience. We pass through them, you see. We pass through this state of, oh Lord, I just need a shepherd to look after me. And that's very appealing, you see. But oh, you know, the Lord Jesus is more than a shepherd looking for a flock. He's a bridegroom looking for a bride. That's the thing that we're to see. Is that the thing you want to see? Is it? All right, keep going. We'll follow on. This time, I want you to see something else in Mark chapter 10. It's a lovely chapter, and you know that this is concerning a couple of his disciples. We'll get at 35. James and John. Mark 10, the sons of Zebedee, they come to him, they say, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Hallelujah. Now, let's think about this. He said to them, what would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Rather change the direction. They don't hear that right. One thing on the right hand, one on the left. Of course, we love to drink of this cup. We've just got to reach our hand across it. Drink of the same cup of Jesus. You see, their eyes are on the future, the far future. His eyes are on the immediate. He says, can you drink of my cup and be baptized? Baptism that I'm baptized with. Mind you, bravely they say, yes, yeah, we can. He said, you. And they said, we can. Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, with all shall ye be baptized, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them
For whom is it prepared?
How about that? That's prepared. Who's going to sit there? This is better than just getting in the kingdom, isn't it? Eh? This is better than just being in the kingdom. I'm a sheep. I want to go into the kingdom. I'm one of his right-hand men. That's lovely. But to sit on his right hand and to sit on his left hand. Ah. Could you ask for anything more? Love it. It's there. Someone's going to sit there. Is it you? It's so easy, because God's so good, to be satisfied with the very least and the lowest. For instance, I don't know whether you're like this, but let me illustrate. I don't often do this. My wife does this more than I do. In mornings, she sometimes listens to this 5 to 8 or what it is. And last week she said to me, a certain man speaking on these 5 to 8. I said, oh, I'd like to hear him. I'll sort of tune in. So I tuned in. It wasn't that man at all. She'd got mixed up about it. But it was someone else. But I listened to him this morning. This is what he said. He said, God is nature. And nature is God. This is coming over in 5 to 8 in the morning, talk for the day. I said, he didn't hear me. But the Lord did. I heard him, and it's a lie. And he went on to describe marvelous paintings and nature. You see, God's so good in nature, he's so satisfied with that. You can be satisfied with these things. He thinks that's it. Call that being Christian. Calling nature God. Oh, God expects all the heathen to start there. He says that all the heathen without excuse, they're supposed to see me in the things I've made in nature. No excuse for them to make an idol. They know their idol didn't make that coconut farm. None at all. They're supposed to find their way to God through nature. But to say that nature is God. And this morning we had the lovely joy of dedicating a precious little child to God. Wonderful. When you see a lovely nature, little child, all of God is working and doing, why, that's blessed. But by these things, I remember hearing Gypsy Smith. I'm dating myself now, aren't I? I was quite a boy, but I am a Londoner. I was born in Bethnal Green. And I remember going on to Mile End Waste. Terrible place I used to live. So it was alone. And I went along to the Mile End place there, and I went into the great assembly hall there, where a man named... Oh, I know, all right. Where, I won't tell you his name, he had a mission there, and Gypsy Smith came along. He was the preacher. I remember him singing. He had a marvelous voice, to Gypsy Smith. But one of the things, I was only a boy. I won't tell you how long ago it was. I'm a bit dated now. But I heard him say this. Young as I was, I heard him say, he's a great evangelist, reaching out to the masses, as you know. And he said, how any woman can have a little bundle of humanity dropped into her lap and say there's no God. I can't understand. I'm only a boy. See? It's a marvelous thing. But that's not God. Hallelujah. It's all so precious. And God leads us gently, and he's so good, as I say. So we're prepared to say, oh, will you bless me today, Lord? It'd be better with me than with some people, and I'm very satisfied, and so on and so on. Lord, but here's a couple of men that say, oh, Lord, once you don't really know Jesus when you talk like that. When they met Jesus, oh, Lord, I want to be as close. Let me sit on your right hand, will you? And let my brother sit on your left hand. It would be marvelous. And I suppose Jesus would have said, "You're very selfish." Really, but he was too kind to say that. Look at the other selfishness of it. How about Peter? How about all the who care about them? You know. Yeah, that's right. I'm all right. The man like you. You see? Oh, no. That's the very antithesis of the cross. The very opposite. Jesus didn't say, "I'm all right. I'm sitting on the right hand of my Father." Okay. Okay, down here. But it is prepared, beloved. There are places. Let's go on. We can read again in our precious book. Let's go to John chapter 14. I'm sure your mind's thinking of this one. Or has done sometime. In John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you know, this is a tremendous thing. Let your mind go back. When God was going to send his Son into the world, what did he do? Now, it's not fair for me to sort of keep you dangling on a hook and question you about this. Because, you see, I know which way my mind goes. We could say lots of things to you. But this is what he did. Before he visited Mary for Jesus to be born, he also visited John Baptist's mother and father. So that one could be... And he was told to prepare the way for the Lord. Do you remember that? Luke 1, verse 17. You mark that if you'll mark it down. We won't turn it up. He wants the reference. And he was told to prepare the way for the Lord. Why? Because the Lord was so important. He's prepared. He's preferred before me, he says. I've only come to prepare. And think of it. Jesus, our forerunner, has entered for us, and he's gone to prepare for us because we're so important. See, what? That's absolutely right. God, I was going to say, demeaned himself, but if you ask Jesus, he would think of the highest honor he had to come down here to prepare for us. Oh, glory. You would have said up to that time that the greatest honor that was ever conferred on any man was conferred on John Baptist. Because the next one was so important. What am I really preparing for him? Now, Jesus, God to prepare you. Amen. Now, see how important you are to God. And how important it is, beloved, that so important a person should come and prepare for you. You know that, don't you? I mean, when the Queen's coming to your house, she doesn't send the local councillor down. She sends the Sir somebody down to your house. And there's a very important person to come and even prepare for the other important person to come in. And when this sort of Lord comes in, he walks into your house, she says, "Oh, dear, what would it be like when the Queen comes? He's so important." The Lord's God, he went to prepare for you. He's got something in mind for us, beloved. It's right. I want to tell you that he came to prepare for what to God was the most important position and person in all heaven. That's right. Now, this is the thing for us to see. Not just sheep being shepherded into a king, our relationship to them. Far higher than that. These two men have got a sight of it when they said, "Lord, let's sit one on your right hand, one on your left hand, in your kingdom, will you? Hey, round your throne. That's where we want to be." go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That's the importance of it. I'm going for you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to prepare for you. I'm coming to receive you. Oh, what can you want better than this? This is the most important personage there is, isn't it? Next to God, must be. I mean, with all this, I'm going to receive the Archangel Michael. The Archangel Michael, he's sent about his business by the Lord. This is because God is wanting us to see this thing that he's after. See, no wonder Paul writing to the Corinthians, it hasn't entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared. This is why we have to have the Holy Ghost. Why in the world people want to fight about the person of the Holy Ghost? He's absolutely fundamentally necessary. He's not an optional extra. He's absolutely, basically, fundamentally must. Because I'm so wooden, I'm so small, I can't conceive it. The things that God prepared. Blessed Spirit, come. And if you let the Holy Ghost teach you, he'll show you, he'll open your inward eye, he'll keep you, and he'll fill you, and he'll show you, and you'll begin to get great openings and understandings, and your soul will go after it. That's what he wants. I'm going to prepare a place for you today. And then I'm coming for you. I want you with me. Where I am, you also. Amen. All right. This is great, isn't it? Let's go on. It's tremendous. This time, we'll go into the Hebrews letter. Are you a Hebrew? You can be. He is a Jew who is one inward man. Circumcision in the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. That's right. Hebrew, you know this word Hebrew means passer over. One who knows what the passer is. When old Paul said a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that's right. That's when the Hebrew nation really started. It was a passer. Yeah. There was a man who was a Hebrew, Abraham the Hebrew. Amen. I won't talk to you about him, but the nation came from him. Old Paul said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, so he was a passer over of the passer over. You see. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. We're reading this tremendous truth, and God is speaking like this. Food, where shall we start? Talking about Abraham, it says, by faith, in verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's why he dwelt in a tent. That's why he dwelt as a stranger in the land of promise, because he was looking for a city. And he wasn't going to live anywhere else but in this city that he was looking for. Amen. Now good, now be careful about this. He wasn't looking for a land particularly. He was already in the land. That's what you've got to watch for. See, so many people, they've got milk and honey and a tambourine and they can jazz and sing and shout. But we're in. You see, well, poor people, they want telling there's a city. Not just a land. Glory be to God. They need their eyes opening. Hallelujah. Don't want to stand skipping about just over Jordan. There's something here, beloved. If you go far enough, you might find a little hill skipping, too. That'll be a marvelous thing for you. And God wants you to see what it's all up to. And he says he was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Bless God, I want you to see this. It didn't say him as bad as dead. When I'm in my first meeting, I said, well, he was bad as a goner, as good as dead. You've all got to be brought to this kind of death. See? Death to everything else, so that faith can really work, so that promises of God can work in us, as good as dead. Are you as good as dead? All right. As good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunities to have returned. This is why so many people go back when they say they're saved, because they're still mindful of the thing they've come from. So they get an opportunity to return. Amen. All right? It'll explain a lot. Just read the Bible. It'll tell you so much. If you just keep reading the Bible. And it says this, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There you are. He's prepared a city for these people. Amen. Looking for a country, he's prepared for them a city. Abraham had this right. He was looking for a city right from the beginning. He wasn't looking for a country. He was looking for a city. I do give God for this. And he's prepared the city. You see, this is the thing you've got to see. And I hope you do see this. I hope you've got this fixed already in your heart. That God has got everything prepared. In a moment, we shall be, well, I think, in a moment, sometime, we'll be going to the book of the Revelation and we'll see what God's got prepared. Because it was prepared, that's why John saw it. It hadn't been prepared, he couldn't have seen it, he couldn't have seen what wasn't there. It was like Moses, you see, when he went up the top of the mountain, he was shown a pattern up on the top of the mountain that was already in existence. And the tabernacle was set up on what was already there. Moses saw it. You see. Now John, on the Isle of Patmos, he sees it. What's there? It's there, beloved. It's there. Glory be to God. Can you see it? You don't see it in the same sense of vision, but it's there, beloved. It's there. Everything's prepared. Glory. Now, this is the thing for your heart to grasp. You see, you don't even really have to wait for anything. Once your heart really sees this, you don't wait for anything. You really, it's there. Of course, all round here on the earth, you only see an old piano and a bit of old glazed bricks. And you see something called a television, or you see cars, stinking things. I only said to somebody the other day, well, I ever went up since I was here last time, there were more cars stored along this road. 6 months ago, was it? I was here in January, I think. In this time, there are more cars stacked along the side of the road in the places where I'm staying. That's it, building up like that. It's fantastic. They'll have to put cars underground. They'll have to make tunnels for them, like trains soon. They will. Where are they going to? What's going to happen? That's all you see. All you can smell and hear, the din, the noise. Blessed be those who see that God has made a preparation, and it's there. He's not going to do it. It's done. Do you believe that? It's already It's all ready. It's just a slip into position. Now, you may believe this or you may not, but I've heard or read somewhere somebody must have repeated it, something they've read. If I don't know whether I saw it or heard it now. But this is it that they say in America. They've got the temple. They've got a temple there, all cut out, all the stones, all prepared. So wait, they're going to wait and ship it across the Atlantic, and they're going to build it in the place where the Mosque of Omar stands. It's all prepared. So they say. I don't know. I'm not an American. I don't ring about it. But that's what they say. It's all there. Praise God. It's just like when the Americans bought old London Bridge. It was all there. But out there, they said, well, this is what it is. I measured up for it. Was it 10 feet? Yes, something there. Well, they went round to the Marmot site, but they were going to put London Bridge out in America. There. Oh, but it's there. Yeah, it isn't here yet. That's right. But it's there. You got this. Yeah, and so they just took down London Bridge if they hadn't taken it down. They had to take it down before it fell down. And that's right. And they just put it there. As you speak, John saw it. It's going to be just as he sees. Yeah. Because it's there. You see. Now you start to talk like this. When the things that God has prepared, the Holy Ghost will reveal them to you. He's going to reveal them to you by his Spirit. Start to talk like this. So it's all there. And you're living in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when you live there, you see, you're not living in all these other things that people live in. You take the miseries and troubles that people live in. You take the squalor and the wretchedness of it all. Take the millions of pounds that some people live in. Terrible. But we're to live here. Let's go on, because you see where all this ties up in a moment. One of the things you see is the wonder of the scriptures in all this. I'm just tracing through the same word. How that God, in using a word, only uses it in certain connections. He doesn't use it in any other connection at all. So a simple word like prepare, sure. No, he's just moving along to give you a breathtaking revelation, what he's moving to. So we go and we trace it again. And this time we go to the book of the Revelation. And in the Revelation, we come to chapter 19. And again we meet this marvelous word. After these things, so we're told in the 19th Revelation, John saw something else. Amen. Here you have a prime example of the statement of Paul working out for you in an understandable way. He said, I've never entered into the heart of man. Eyes not seen, ears haven't heard, but God sent his Spirit to reveal them to us. Is that right? Remember that? So here we've got John. He's put on an island. It's a marvellous thing. But I'm like, oh, God, the member of a slave guy. No, of course, John wouldn't have spoken like this. He said, beloved, God is love. And you see, he goes on this island of Patmos, and there God works out this very truth. What's happening in your life? He's working out truth, if only you've got an eye to see it. Now, I haven't seen it, so John's given eyes to see it, you see, because he's in the Spirit. There you are, revealed by the Spirit. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's side, and he sees. And he hears. He turns around to see. And he hears. And he sees it. God, there's him. John, write it, John, write it, glory, we've got it, it's in the Bible, we're going to read some of it now. After all these other things in this 19th chapter, here's voices shouting hallelujah, praise God. I wish I heard somebody in this room tonight, shouting hallelujah. And it says, in verse 5, look at this one, it says, a voice came out of the throne. Now, this has never entered into your heart, so you see, it's got to now. Let the voice enter into your heart now. God's going to give you a revelation. The voice of a great multitude. Voice of many waters. Because they've been told to praise God in verse 5. Small and great, doesn't matter who you are, just praise Him. So, I'm not great at this. Well, start shouting in all your smallness. Amen. That's the way to get great. That's right. You'll develop your voice. If you can say, hallelujah. If you keep on, you'll be saying, hallelujah. That's right. That's how you get great in the things of God. Use what you've got. It'll expand. And God will do tremendous things. And He says, I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude. It was a voice of many waters. And a voice of many thundering saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Let's be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife has made herself ready. That's your word. That's the same Greek word. Prepare. She's prepared herself. Amen. She's made herself ready. What for? The marriage. Now, this isn't a shepherd gathering his sheep. Hallelujah. God shows you the new heaven and the new earth. I know that this other in Matthew has on earth its first working out on this present earth. But He shows us the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's going to be so glorious. We'll have a look at it in a moment. But before He shows you the earth, He shows you the most important person next to God in the new creation. It's the bride of the Lamb. Not the sheep, but the bride. You got that? Get that very clear. And she has made herself ready. That's all she's been waiting for. That's all she's been looking for. She's got her eye on that. Made herself ready. Ah, this is a wonderful thing. And she made herself ready. Mind you, she's had to do things very steadily. She's had to go on. She's had to determine. She had to make choices. She's had to say, no, not this, that. Oh, I can't stop here. It's there. Yeah, not for you, I'm for Him. That's what she's had to say. Prepared herself. Glory. Oh, what preparation. Eh? Listen, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to be married now? Are you ready? Are you ready to be married? She's got herself ready. She got herself ready. She made herself ready. There's nothing to stop her. Nothing to stop any of us. Making ourselves ready. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Come down. I'm ready. You know, I didn't even, sorry I keep on that, I haven't been with you yet, I saw some wedding, one of them, all their marvellous best. I'll tell you what happened, because if you're the bride out there, you just do a sort of, you don't decorate, it's the husband, he comes along, he's marvellous. Has all kinds of tinsel and gold and silver and feathers, and draped all up, he wears the veil, all veiled up, you can't see who it is, I know about that as well. But he rides on a horse, they have a band up and a big drum. He walks in front and the horse just waving his plume. This is right, so you've seen something, can't you? That's right. I've got second evidence here. And, and you know what he does? He goes for it, right? He goes for it. She stops indoors, so he comes for it. She's already, mind you, though. She's already. Yeah, see, and God's got the Eastern wedding in mind, not this Western thing. It's an Eastern. And He goes for her. He's prepared a place for her. Glory. He's prepared everything for her.
She goes.
And she goes. It's an arranged wedding, by the way. Father arranged it. Father arranged the wedding out there. Amen. Yeah. Cost a tremendous amount, too. Yeah, Father arranged that. She wasn't asked. He arranged it. You haven't been asked. Father's arranged it. You've got to marry Jesus. You understand this, don't you? You haven't been asked. This is the name of the Lord. You haven't been asked. But John knew it straight away. He says, the voice of the bridegroom. He knew what was on. John, right? She's made herself ready. Ready for marriage with Jesus Christ. Ready for a display to everybody that you are His. And I tell you what, if you're on this earth and you're married to a husband on this earth and he's not the Lord's, he'll be left. You don't belong to him. You belong to him. Well, of course, it'll work the other way if you're married to a wife, but I'm going to keep to the figure. You, glory be to the name of the Lord. And you see, this wonderful last hallelujah. It's just because the bride made herself ready to marry the Lamb. She's made herself ready for Him. Everything else is off the ground. She's been perfectly ruthless about it too. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Is the hymn right? And it's also glorious, and the Lord says in that 19th chapter, to her was granted that she should be decked in the finest gold of the jewels, the bangles on her wrists, and no, just plain white. Just plain white linen. Linen is the righteousness of the faith. She's clothed with it. Amen. To her was granted. She made herself ready to be robed in this blessed whiteness. Amen. In other words, she washed and washed and cleansed herself again and again in the blood of the Lamb. She was marrying her blessed Lamb. Again and again and again. She was prepared. And John is a prime example of this. It's all going to happen when the trumpet blows, you know. You know that, there's going to be a voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will arise first. They're not going to hold back, those of us that are alive on the earth. Amen. Privileged to die, you better die as soon as you can. Don't try to escape dying, because you'll see him before me. That's right. They're always looking for him coming because they're afraid of dying. I think lots of people don't want to die. You don't want to die. Hurry up and die. You don't want to be as good as dead. You want to be dead. When the Lord comes, amen, you rise first. It's much better than have your body change without dying. Take you lying in the ground, gone back to dust and come back. It's like the original creation, isn't it? It God made Adam out of dust. And you've gone back to dust and ashes, and he says, hey, what proper new creation? New Adam here. Hallelujah. It's a marvelous thing. It's better to die than live. People, they get tied up about this. I've heard people talk about this. hallelujah. If there's no sin in death, we'll die. And the greatness of that it is that he's going to come and he's going to blow a trumpet. There'll be plenty of people here to welcome him. They'll only have their bodies changed. We'll have it more than changed. How's that? That's a miracle. We're going to meet him in the air. He's going to come back. He's going to gather everybody up. It's a trumpet. So you get worked out in your feet. So when it all starts, he says, I heard behind you a voice, as it were, of a great trumpet. I turned to see the voice. Oh, so with a trumpet. Why? Oh, I see the church. That's all. That's the thing that's been focused on, just the churches. And Jesus says, you don't love me like it is. See, that's all he says. That should break your heart. And the Lord wants this great thing in us. Let's turn on, shall we, to chapter 21 in this great same book. And he sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. See, Abraham was looking for this. As I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now she hasn't just got on her pure white basic garments. Now she's got the finery on. That's only the foundation garments. And then the Lord, he decks her. He decks her. Just prepared. Right, and you should see her in this glorious chapter. There it is. She comes down on earth. Now, we're told in Hebrews 11 that he had prepared for all these other people a city. This is the city. He's prepared it. The city's prepared for them. But she, the bride, has prepared herself for him. All right? She prepared herself for him. That's all. They see the city, Abraham. They all see the city coming down from God. This great multitude of people who died in faith, not having received the promises. But God has prepared for them a city. They said they were wanting a country. Sheep go into the country. They feed on the pastures. They go in and they inherit a kingdom. But the bride... That's the city prepared in the new creation. But there, but she is prepared for him. Make herself ready, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This is a marvelous thing. Amen. Amen. He's the most important one. There in the midst of the city is the throne of God. You'll find that in the next chapter. There's the throne of God. And now listen. Who's going to sit on the right hand and on the left? Going to sit there. I don't think it'll be me. Will it be you? We've got to get already prepared, beloved. Really. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when the Lord's going to come. I mean, all these sort of guesses are there. You can pick up all sorts of books and read all kinds of ideas. The fact is that you've got to. You've got to be ready, hallelujah, to prepare ourselves. Well, that's marvelous, but you see, what you've got to do is see this, that you mustn't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly use. So I think we'll finish on another note. And this time I'm in Paul's letter to Timothy, the second one that he wrote. Chapter 2. Verse 19. Nevertheless, he says, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, see, a bride prepares herself, a man can purge himself through faith, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Why are you here down on this earth? A vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, purged from all things. Hallelujah. Sometimes when Bart thinks, has finished preaching, and he's worse than me, he goes on for hours and hours and hours. So sad. I heard him go on for a long time and then went to sleep under it because I couldn't understand him, that's all. But sometimes when he's been at the end of, say, a week's conference, or he's been going strong all day long. Mind you, when I say all day long, it starts at daybreak, somewhere about 4:30. They're marching around the compound, playing instruments, banging and singing. Well, it's called singing. They enjoy it. And that's it. If you're civilized, you don't. But there it is. They think it's marvelous. And they go around and they greet the dawn with the songs of praises of the Lamb. And then, before you know where you are, you're in a meeting. And then you're out, then you're in, then you're out, then you're in. Oh, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And again, when it's all finished, he'll say, well, that's all you can get out of an old clay pot. It's done. Yeah, some vessels of earth, they're in the old clay pot. Never mind. You can be sanctified. You can be prepared for every good work. You can be meet for the master's use. Glory. That is, just meet his requirements in your situation. You're just the one. You just prepare. Prepare. You've got to be prepared for God to use you. You've got to be prepared. That's why he don't use you, because you're not prepared. People say, why doesn't God use me? Why doesn't God use me? Because you're not prepared. I remember once a dear old gentleman in Bradford, most of you have heard me refer to him sometime or another. He was elder in the church, and he was a great man for giving his testimony. He didn't know how to wear it. He used to say, marvelous thing, he said. He said, it's a great thing to get to somebody to pick you up. You know, he never did his thumb in business, it's so popular today. But he used to think it was marvelous if somebody offered him a ride. Of course, he said, you've got them. And he said, you're sitting in the car, they've got to listen to you. Yeah, they can't get away from it. Hey, what is it? Even though he's the one that's being obliged. He obliges the Lord. You see, only said, why? People say to me, why do you get these mouthful of utility? Because God knows I'm ready to take every opportunity. But he's prepared. No great waster of time. He'll give you your opportunity. Get prepared, beloved. Hallelujah. Be prepared. You've got to be prepared. And do every good work. Hallelujah. So I said, oh, I'm going to shut myself up now and get myself ready for the wedding. Glory. All I've got to do. But you've got to be prepared for every good work. And where you've got to live out here, where it's difficult, where it's hard, where you can't shut yourself up in a corner and say, you know, I'm in a holy huddle, getting ready for the Lord, trying to keep the garments clean, and all that sort of thing. Beloved, he's able to prepare you for every good work. Are you ready? Are you ready? There are going to be some people, they're going to get into the kingdom, all right. They live on the sheep-like relationship with the Lord. They'll be in the kingdom. They'll be there. Do you remember that when we read it in Hebrews 11, and I'm soon going to stop. We read it in Hebrews 11. It says that through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there of his wife, and him as good as dead, famous word, him as good as dead, as many as the stars of heaven for multitude, or the sand of the seashore. Now do you notice that? There's a heavenly seed and the earthly seed. Alright? So there are those who are going to be in on the new earth, they'll be in, alright. They were looking, they haven't had the promises, they were looking for the city. Alright. So God's going to give them the city. And the city is the bride, who's prepared to him. They're not looking for cities so much. In Hebrews 12, they're already there. Sister, you've come to New Jerusalem. You're in it. It's there. You see, they're there. And she's prepared for him. Stars of the heavens, multitudes, dare to multitude of scattered over all the earth. Looking for him. Praise God. Looking for him. Ready for him. If he walked into your circumstances and said, oh, can't have that. Can't have that. Are you looking for him? Come this. Come to that. No, he's not got a big stick, he's not saying, you go. No, he doesn't. See, there isn't condemnation in Christ Jesus. He hasn't got any condemnation in him. No condemnation then that are in Christ Jesus. He hasn't got any condemnation. But you know what he's got? He's got to look. You can ask Peter, he just looked at Peter. He didn't look back at that. What was in the eye of Jesus when he looked at that? Broken heart. Broken. But you see, I want you to see that emotionalism isn't salvation. Plenty of people get broken. They're very emotional. People are now wet bitterly. He was still leading them astray. Took them out fishing before he got the Holy Ghost. He still went wrong. He did It didn't get restored just because it asked. People sort of flooded the tears and they were very emotional about it all. It didn't even say it. Oh, that is a sorry Lord. And so, yeah, I know, but it's more than that. It's this Lord. Looking for you. Looking for you. Amen. He's prepared the city. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That place is in the city. He hasn't gone to prepare green pastures for you. He's gone to prepare an eternal abode. It's precious. I'd like to go into all the details there. All that you and I need to see is that we can be ready. Are you ready? Are you really drinking his blood, inwardly washed, everything pure and holy? Are you? There. Where you're not seeking wine. What do you want wine for when you can have blood? Somewhere there comes a time and a place in everybody's life that knows the Lord where they're just wanting Him. I just want you. Amen. Jesus just wants you. Just wants you. You. Doesn't matter now whether anybody else wants you all that much, does it? Just wants you. Give yourself to me. Give yourself. So come, Lord. Come, Lord. Jesus. That's the relationship. Very simple. Very basic. Very vital. The most vital of all. It's the relationship of eternal love. Amen. Well, it's there. It may not be here yet, and we can say, marriage of the Lamb has come. But John was allowed to look into the things that are, the things that shall be. And he brought them, the things that shall be, down into this present, so that it is in the Spirit now. And we can enter right in and live there. I think it's time I stop. Let's pray. You talk to the Lord.